Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to take our portion of scripture we left off last week out of Matthew, or rather out of Luke 24, and we're going to continue forward with that theme this morning as we go from the resurrection to the ascension. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Luke 24. Luke 24, starting with verse 50. It says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Now take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and remember now the book of Luke and the book of Acts were written by one and the same, being the physician by the name of Luke. Now we find, starting in verse 1, it says, in my former book, that is his gospel, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're still thinking on an earthly basis of a kingdom. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they asked, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, the ascension of Jesus Christ has historically been one of the most neglected subjects of Christendom. We preach his birth, his life, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, but seldom do we hear a message about the ascension. And yet, I believe it is one of the most inspiring and exciting themes to be found anywhere in Scripture. The Apostle Paul must have thought much about these truths and the glory of the ascension, because he writes to Timothy, he writes this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Now, the ascension of Christ is really twofold. There's an exit from this world that is supernatural, but there is also an entrance into heaven which was absolutely glorious. Our Lord ascended above the first and second heavens, directly into the third heaven, which is the very abode of God. Now, I want you to consider how, first and foremost, it was a victory, the victory of the ascension. You know, Jesus ascended victorious. He did not ascend a defeated man. He ascended as the conquering Lord and the King of Kings. The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When our Lord ascended, he took his rightful place once again at the right hand of God the Father. Now, friends, I find that very comforting this morning to know that Jesus has gone on ahead and he is in heaven at this very moment. Jesus ascended into heaven not only as our conquering Lord, but also as our forerunner. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. For we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. So the writer is saying we have a promise here. We have a hope, and this hope is the anchor, keeps us from drifting away, that is steadfast and sure, entering into those places behind the veil is where Jesus went. Wherefore, the forerunner Jesus, who was made high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, has entered in for us. Jesus ascended into the very holy of holies, according to the Bible. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 9 and 24 tells us this: for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands. It was only a copy of the true one. He entered into heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Think about that for a moment. He is now in heaven, and the Bible says he has done this for us. Jesus, our high priest, has gone ahead to make intercession, but even more importantly, he has gone to be our advocate. And the word advocate means one that pleads our case. He is the one that is our attorney. He is our lawyer, pleading our case in the heavenly for us. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Notice, he is making intercession, the Bible says, for us. You see, Jesus' work on earth is historical at this moment. It was completed at Calvary. But his work in heaven continues without intermission until that day that the church is safely home in heaven alongside of him. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24, it says, but he, because he lives forever, has a priesthood that is unchangeable. As you go through the Bible, you'll discover that there are many different priests, because priests would live for a certain period of time. They would serve the people, serve God, serve at the temple, but then they would die, and God would raise up another. But now we have one that lives forever, and his priesthood is unchanging. He is at the right hand of God the Father. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He pleads our case on our behalf. While on earth, Jesus, by his work, acquired our salvation. In heaven, Jesus, by his work, he maintains our salvation. And I am so glad to know this morning that we have someone in heaven that is praying for us. So he ascended and he ascended victorious and has taken his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. I don't know what your week has been like. Maybe it's been filled with joy. Maybe it's been filled with trials and problems of one sort or another. But I assure you today that there's been one that has been interceding for you in heaven. In the hard and difficult moments, he was praying for you. In those moments of failure, he was our attorney. He was pleading our case before the Father, according to the scriptures. Now, secondly, you'll notice that Jesus ascended as our conquering general, as our conquering general. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says this: that is why the scripture says, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to people. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 is a quotation that comes from Psalm 68 and verse 18. Psalm 68, 18 says this: thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. This psalm, this Psalm 68, was sung by David when returning home from a battle, having rescued some Israelites, liberating them and setting them free. And so on the way back to Jerusalem, he was singing this psalm. This psalm was 68. When David returned from this battle, he brought back with him the enemy he had captured, parading them through the streets of Jerusalem, proving once and for all that he was a victorious leader and in battle. Now, I believe that the Apostle Paul must have had some of David's triumphal entries in the back of his mind when he penned for us Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, which says, "From history, we've learned that the victorious Roman generals, as they were returning, as they were coming back, they would return to Rome with great parades and with great pomp and circumstance and a display of the captured enemies." And so when he penned Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, I believe that Paul had some of this in his mind. You know, probably the most outstanding triumphal entry that has ever happened was that of Aurelian. Aurelian was a great Roman general. When Aurelian came back to Rome, it was really quite a sight. The Roman senators, they led the march, all dressed in their official garments, followed by, yes, by 20 elephants. And then came four tigers. In all, more than 200 animals from every region of the conquered country where he was so victorious in, was now paraded through the streets of Rome. Then came all of the ambassadors from the various countries, and they were all in their full regalia and dress, followed by the chariot of Aurelian himself, with a slave holding a victor's crown over his head. Chained to his chariot wheels were the captive kings that he had conquered, and it was quite a sight. Following Aurelian then was the victorious soldiers, and following even after that were the prisoners from Rome who had been released by the victory of this great general. Now, I believe Paul then probably had some of this in mind when he wrote, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. When Jesus returned to heaven, he did not sneak in the back door of heaven as a defeated one. Jesus walked through the very gates of pearl as a victor, as a conquering general." You know, history records there was quite a battle that day between France and England on the battlefield of Waterloo. Napoleon, you know him from history as that greedy French general who had a grip around most of the world during that time. And from 12 noon until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it looked as though he would prevail. It looked certain that the world would be now under the control of the French, and that the French were going to win, and that Napoleon would indeed be the victor. But along about 4 p.m., the commander Wellington, he shouted out, "Boys, boys, are you going to give up? Are you going to give way yet? Remember old England." And somehow the tide began to turn, and they fought until 8 p.m. that evening. And at 8 o'clock, the victory was in the hands now of England. Napoleon was dazed, defeated, staggered away from the battlefield, with his hopes and his dreams of world conquest being slain there on the field of Waterloo. Now, friends, I believe there was another day. This day was a day at Calvary, when all of hell rolled up, led by Apollyon, that great destroyer, to do battle against the captain of our salvation. The battle raged from 9 a.m. in the morning until 3 p.m. in the afternoon. But when the dust of the battle had settled, there was an empty tomb, a risen Savior, standing there with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, ready to go home victorious. Now, friends, I don't know exactly what it means when the Bible says he led captivity captive. But I think it may have meant that when Jesus went back to heaven, Satan and death were chained to his chariot wheels. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says this, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." So notice, all of hell and all the dignitaries of hell, they were all disarmed. And Jesus made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them at the cross. Now let me summarize by saying, because he is up there and his Holy Spirit has come down here, we can have victory out there. Amen, church? Because he is up there, he sent his Holy Spirit down here, we can have victory out there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always gives us triumph in Christ." Think about that. Paul says, "Now thanks be to God who always continually leads us in triumph in Christ." I want you to consider then thirdly, the glory of the ascension, the glory. You know, as you study the subject of the ascension of Christ, it calls for praise in two worlds. When Jesus Christ ascended, the event was surrounded by human praise. Scripture says when Jesus was caught out of their sight, the disciples were fixed steadfastly towards heaven. That word steadfastly means they were stretching their eyes, hoping to get one more glimpse of the Lord. Nothing can compare, however, with the day that Jesus went back to heaven. I can just see Simon Peter in my mind's eye, staring up into the sky, trying to get one last glimpse of his Lord, the tears rolling down his cheeks. And I can just see him saying, "There goes my Lord. He's the only one that could have ever made anything out of me. What will I do? What will I do now? He's gone. He's gone," as he is looking into the sky. Then came the tremendous angelic question and announcement. "Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Now, friends, that's some mighty good news. That news set the disciples on fire for our Lord. And from that moment on, they lived looking for the day of that blessed hope and the return of Jesus Christ for his own. Now, let's take a look at what happened on the other side of the cloud for just a moment. Now, if you think it was glorious when we sing, "The King is coming here, down here, and on this world," try to think and imagine for a moment what it was like when the angelic choirs began to sing, "The King is coming on the other side." In my mind's eye, I can see thousands and thousands of angels lining up on Old Glory Road as they gather to welcome our Lord Jesus back. I can hear them as they cheer, "Welcome back, Jesus. We have missed you. Heaven just has not been heaven without you." However, there is much, much more moving reception than that. Can you imagine the scene when Jesus came face to face with his Father once again after 33 years of separation while Jesus was here on this earth, bearing the marks of our sin? And the Bible says, "In one day they shall say unto him, 'What are these wounds in thy hands?' Then he shall answer, 'Those for which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" I believe the Father reached out and drew his Son to his bosom and said, "This is my Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." After which Jesus then took his rightful place once again at the right hand of God the Father on high. And the angelic choirs began to sing the song that is recorded in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And the song goes on through the generations. The song of the redeemed here on the earth, joining in with the angels in heaven. Friends, I'm so glad that we have a Savior that is absolutely triumphant. He is triumphant over Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I believe that when he went home, not sneaking in the back door, but he came to the front door victorious, and he was declared the absolute victor over all that happened here on this earth and will happen on the earth. And he is now on the other side interceding for us. He is our advocate. And the Bible says he does so unceasingly. No matter what goes on in your day, I want you to know that he's with you. I want you to know that he's for you and that he has a plan of victory for your life. This morning, you might be going through one of the most difficult times, and I want you to identify. I want you to know you have an advocate. You've got an attorney that's on the other side pleading the case for you. Just like when Peter was just, you know, in those moments before Jesus was, arrested and then taken to court and all that was going on in his life at that moment. If you go back and you look at that, Jesus said to him, Peter, Satan wants to sift you. Satan wants to destroy you, in other words. But I've been praying for you. I've been praying that you will not fail. And he encouraged him. He said, even though there may be a moment of failure in your life, I want you to know on the other side, there's going to be victory and that there's going to be a future for you and for your life and for the ministry that I've called you to, even though there may be a moment of failure. And so he is calling us today and he's declaring, yes, there's a job to be done. I'm with you. I'm for you. And no matter what the world may say, I'm so glad today to know that we have a risen Lord, a risen Savior, and the Bible says he's coming back, and he's coming back in absolute victory. You know, there's a home in Arkansas, and this home in Arkansas is for children that have been abused, misused, and left behind by parents many times, you know, either unwanted because of physical or emotional needs or whatever it may be. And so one day during their weekly chapel service, a guest was sharing how Jesus was coming back. And the story goes on to tell us that since that moment, the windows, you know, that these little children were looking out to look out, to see if Jesus was coming that day. And at that moment, they haven't been able to keep the windows clean from that moment on. The little fingerprints and nose prints have been on the window. And that's the way the disciples lived. The disciples knew that Jesus had been taken up, but that he was going to return. And I want you to know, there's a wonderful promise in the scripture. And he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. I want you to bow your heads this morning. Father, Lord, we're so glad this morning to know that you are the conquering Lord. You're the conquering Savior. And Lord, that you have given your best for us. You have given your life. Lord, I pray this morning in these closing moments, Lord, as we join in with the saints of heaven and declaring that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, I'm so glad today to know that where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. And the fact that we can believe every word that you said is all made true to us by the empty tomb. And not only by the empty tomb, but by the fact of the resurrection and then of the ascension. Lord, we're so glad today to know that you walk with us, that you're concerned about whatever is going on in our daily lives. And I pray, oh God, for those today that just need that reassurance that you have not left them here on this earth without a promise, without a hope towards the future. And Lord, that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can declare you the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives and over the situations we face in life. And so, Lord, this morning I pray in these next few moments that because of the resurrection, because of the ascension, because of the glory that's been on both sides, Lord, both here and in heaven, help us, Lord, I pray, to know that you are leading us forward towards victory every day of our life and that you have a promise for every day and for every situation. Thank you, Lord, for what we believe you're going to do in even these next few moments. If you're in the house today and you're saying, you know, I'm in one of those moments of my life where I'm facing what seems to be a battle, and the battle may be raging in your family. It could be your marriage. It might be for your health. It might be for your emotions. There's some dimension in your life where you just sense there's a raging battle that's going on. and you just need a little bit of encouragement to make it through to the other side, the victory side of where you're at right now, I encourage you in these next few moments as they begin to sing, I encourage you to come. And we're going to pray this morning that what has happened through the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ will have an impact upon your life and your day today. And so if you need some additional prayer today, regardless of what that situation may be, let me encourage you, you come as they begin to sing.